From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. Well, the anniversary of Roe v. Wade just around the corner, the annual pro-life mass of reparation on the anniversary, Wednesday, January 22nd, 12:10 p.m., Holy Mass with Bishop Soto at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament. January 22nd marks the 47th anniversary of the 1973 U.S. Supreme Court decision Roe v. Wade. In the Diocese of Sacramento, January 22nd is designated as a diocesan day of reparation. All are asked to observe this day of reparation through fasting, prayer, penance, and works of mercy. For more information, you can contact Jacqueline Aguilar, who is the coordinator for Respect Life Ministries here in the Diocese of Sacramento, 916-733-0156, or go to, you could send her an email, respectlife@scd.org. Jacqueline does great work. Of course, it is possible that Roe v. Wade will work its way to the U.S. Supreme Court. There has not been a case filed yet on that, on it specifically. There are various pro-life type legislation out there, some of which is being challenged in individual states, but the actual Roe v. Wade has not been directly challenged. So we'll see where that goes. But it's up to us to develop a culture of life, no matter where the law is, no matter what the courts say, no matter what state legislators or governors might say. It's up to us to promote a culture of life. And one way to do this is to attend the annual Mass of Reparation on January 22nd. Also, the annual Walk for Life West Coast in San Francisco on Saturday, the 25th of January. They've lined up, as usual, a great number of good speakers, including our good friend Reverend Clenard Childress, who's been on the show last week, Gabe. If you haven't heard him speak, he's worth the price of admission, which is free, by the way. It all takes place at Civic Center Plaza. This is the 16th annual Walk for Life in San Francisco. Father Frank Pavone will be speaking, someone who has dedicated his life to the pro-life movement, director of Priests for Life, which was founded in 1990 in San Francisco. Speaking will be Kathleen Folan, a wife and mother. She holds a degree in philosophy from the University of San Francisco, and her inspirational story of faith, hope, and a willingness to appreciate God's blessings has been shared in the National Catholic Register. She currently serves as the Director of Family and Youth Ministry at St. Dominic's Church in San Francisco. It all takes place Saturday, January 25th. People come from all over the West Coast now. It's pretty impressive, and it's a wonderful family event. A lot of youth groups there with the banner from their parish. It's just wonderful to see. All takes place at Civic Center Plaza. There's plenty of parking right under Civic Center Plaza. Or you can take a bus with your parish group, but there's lots of parking as well. The rally itself, which lasts about an hour, they're pretty prompt with it. They move along pretty quickly. Will take place at 12:30 p.m. just after noon, and then the march down Market Street to Justin Herman Plaza. So it is a great event. If you have never been. People talk about bucket lists. Well, this is something you should put on your bucket list, because it's well worth going, whether you've been before or not. Some people have never missed. I've been many times myself, and we've broadcast from down there many times, and it's a real highlight. And don't be afraid to take your kids. It's a great example for them, and a great some great speakers, and of course, all topped off by Reverend Clenard Childress, tireless advocate for the right to life for all Americans. And again, the massive reparation on at the cathedral, the normal weekday 12:10 p.m. mass, it gives people time to get out of their offices and workplaces and get to mass. 12:10 p.m. mass with Bishop Soto at the cathedral, 1017 11th Street, right here in Sacramento. World Marriage Day is also coming up Saturday, February the 15th, 11 a.m. mass with Bishop Soto. Now, this is 11 a.m. on Saturday, not Sunday, at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament. You're invited to join as we honor marriage and salute the beauty of faithfulness, sacrifice, and joy in married life. During this Mass, there will be a special blessing for sacramentally married couples and an opportunity for them to renew their marital commitment. An informal reception will follow for couples and their families. Special certificates will be distributed at the reception, honoring couples celebrating milestone anniversaries like 10, 25, 30, 45, 50, etc. In one year, they had a couple that had been married for 73 years. If you plan to attend, they'd like you to register so they can make a certificate. If you have questions, you can go to scd.org/WMD for World Marriage Day. Or you can contact the Office of Family and Faith Formation at 916-733-0133. That's 916-733-0133. Is God calling you at St. Patrick's Seminary Discernment Retreat, February 21-23? Conferences by the Most Reverend Thomas A. Daly, the Bishop of Spokane in Eastern Washington. You must be a single man, 21 years or older. All meals and lodging is provided, and attendance does not in any way imply further obligation, but it's just a great way to learn a little bit more. The St. Patrick's Seminary Discernment Retreat. The St. Patrick's, of course, is down in Menlo Park. To register, contact Father Guillermo Hernandez, Father Memo, at 916-733-0258, or you can send an email to Maricela Smith at msmith@scd.org. Also, for young girls in the diocese, age 13 to 17, the Deus Vocat Discernment Retreat. Girls ages 13 to 17 will learn about religious orders, consecrated life, and married life. There will be time for prayer, fellowship, games, and more. Not too early to circle this date on your calendar, May 1st to the 3rd at the Trinity Pines Catholic Center, 28,000 Rollins Lake Road in Colfax. Cost is $60, includes room and all meals. They'd like to register by April the 17th. You can go to scd.org/Deus Vocat. That's DEUSVOCAT. And if you have questions, contact the Sacramento Office of Vocations, 916-733-0258 or msmith@scd.org. The fourth annual Family Stream Night is coming up Monday, January 27th at St. John Notre Dame School in Folsom. Computers are everywhere. The Hour of Code, organized by the nonprofit Code.org and over 100 others, is a global movement that believes the students of today are ready to learn critical skills for 21st century success. You're invited to join St. John Notre Dame School. They're hosting their fourth annual Family Stream Night. It's a Monday night, January 27, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. in Gallagher Hall at St. John the Baptist Parish. It's an evening of fun and excitement. Featured participants such as Duncan Engineering, Intel, SMUD, Sacramento State University Geology Club, Jesuit and St. Francis Robotic Teams, and, of course, a lot of amazing teachers are hosting tables for creative activities in science, technology, religion, engineering, art, and math. Sounds like a great, great event for the whole family. I'm going to try to go Monday, January 27th, 5:30 to 7 p.m. And so many things happening here in the in the Diocese of Sacramento. I was really proud and pleased last week. As you may know, a year ago, on January the 10th of last year, in the city of Davis, my hometown, the officer, police officer, Natalie Corona, was brutally gunned down, killed. And just the town is still reeling from this. It was a routine traffic stop. There had been a little fender bender, and she took the call and showed up there and was about to, you know, go analyze the situation. And somebody came out of a nearby home and brutally murdered her, shot her, and right there on the spot. No evidence that there was any interaction between this person and her before, and it was just a terrible, tragic day. The person was eventually, that same day, was found. He went back to his house. Nobody knows why he did this, and rather than come out, he chose to commit suicide, probably with the very gun he had used to kill Natalie Corona. She was only 22 years old, had not been on the force very long. It happened directly at the Newman Center, our Catholic Newman Center in Davis, just right on the street, right next to the Newman Center. And so the last week, on January the 10th, the Newman Center, at the direction of Bishop Soto and the Catholic Newman Center and St. Mary's Cemetery and Funeral Services, donated a granite memorial bench at the very spot up on the grass of the Newman Center where she had been killed. She was killed in the street right next to that, early evening. And they had a prayer and remembrance service for her. The bench was unveiled in her honor. It is really a bench. It's beautiful. It's a granite bench. It is an absolutely, and if you manage to come to Davis, it's on Fifth Street between C and D. It is really a beautiful memorial to Officer Natalie Corona. A number of people from the police department attended. A number of firefighters attended. Natalie Corona's friends and families and the Davis firefighters were grateful to lend a helping hand in placing the granite bench. Steve Beck, a cemetery manager of Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, worked diligently to secure the bench with the grounds crew from the seminary and to ensure that it will be a wonderful place for those to sit and remember this young officer. It stunned our town. And then later that day at the police department itself, there was another very large rally to remember Natalie and to honor her family. Her father, Merced Corona, the family lives in Arbuckle up in Colusa County. He is a retired sheriff from Colusa County. And they were there, and Merced spoke, and spoke so eloquently as well. And Vince Nims, the director of the Newman Center, also spoke very eloquently to the very large group that was gathered at the police station. And also Father Andres Emanuele spoke very eloquently as well to the group. Now, Parish Advocate Training Program, April 21 to 23, assisting parishioners in the annulment process. Registrations are being accepted for the Tribunal's fourth introductory Parish Advocate Training Program. The program will be held 21st to the 23rd at Christ the King Retreat Center in Citrus Heights. Priests, deacons, and lay people are welcome and encouraged to participate. More than 90 people have completed this Parish Advocate Training. The introductory program addresses the job description and role of parish advocates, marriage and church teaching and law, impediments, grounds for nullity, and types of cases and required procedures. The advanced program will be held in September. Only those lay people who have completed the introductory and advanced programs may serve as parish advocates, along with priests And deacons, you can go to the tribunal's webpage to sign up. That's scd.org/tribunal/tribunal-resources. For any questions, contact Cheryl Folke. Cheryl is the moderator of the tribunal chancery at 916-733-0231, or send Cheryl a note by email at CTHOLCKE@scd.org. We'll take a quick break here. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hello, this is Jennifer Campbell, Director of Trinity Pines Catholic Center. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thanks, Jennifer, and thanks for all you do. A reminder, Camp Pendola, they're looking for counselors, and Jennifer's the person to contact as if you want to be a counselor in the summer at beautiful Camp Pendola up in the Sierra Nevada foothills. So go to pendola.org to learn all about it. It's just a great, great Catholic summer camp. They're into like about 60 years now, so it's been going for a long, long time. Well, coming up at the end of the month, we've got Catholic Schools Week and all kinds of great things happening. Our 44 schools in the Diocese of Sacramento. We're pleased to go out to Roseville to St. Rose Elementary School there, and we're talking to the principal, Suzanne Smalley. Suzanne, good day to you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Tell us a little bit about your school.
Well, St. Rose School is located in Roseville, and we serve a large number of parishes because we are one of the only schools in this particular area of the diocese. So we serve not just St. Rose Parish, but also St. Clair, St. Joseph Murillo, St. Joseph Lincoln, and St. Peter and Paul.
Wow.
So we welcome all the students who come from those different parishes, too.
Boy, that's good. How long has the school been there?
We've been open since 1961. We opened with first through fourth grade and graduated our first students 4 or 5 years later. And have been in touch with our alumni, and we certainly welcome our alumni to get in touch with us so that we can find you, because we love to connect up. So, and we are a transitional kindergarten through eighth grade school. We don't have a preschool right now, but we'd love to have one. So,
is that in the works?
Well, the discussion is in the works, but the problem is that we don't have a lot of space to build something new.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have to transition some space that we have. But it keeps coming up in conversation with our parents, and so I'm kind of putting a shout out there for it.
How young does preschool go down to?
Well, in other schools that have a preschool, they go as young as 2 years old to 4 years old,
uh-huh.
But our transitional kindergarten starts with students who turn 4 by September 1, and our kindergarten starts with children who turn 5 by September 1.
So nowadays we hear about TK. When I was a kid, we didn't hear about TK. In fact, a lot of kids didn't go to kindergarten when I was a kid. They started
right.
in first grade. What is TK, and what has that meant to education?
Well, it's meant a tremendous amount to our parents who start here in transitional kindergarten. Because children need to be 4 by September 1, we also serve children who may not completely be ready for kindergarten, and they may be turning 5 by September 1, but they need a 2-year kindergarten experience,
right.
And so we welcome them too. And it's a great way to help our children to be ready for kindergarten and have a firm foundation, ready for first grade, and so on.
Very good. So tell us about yourself. Have you been in Catholic education all your adult life? Or what?
Well, now I'm dating myself here. yes, I did attend Catholic school when I was young, all the way through high school.
Here in this area?
Not in this area. I was in both Portland, Oregon, and Modesto, California.
My birthplace, Portland, Oregon.
Oh, mine too.
Wow. Which elementary school were you at in Portland?
I graduated from the Madeline School.
Oh, no. I said, don't say Madeline. My sisters went to Madeline.
No yeah. kidding. How yeah. interesting is this?
Yeah, over on the east side of the river and... Yeah.
Fabulous. Well, I went to St. Mary's Academy downtown,
mm-hmm.
and then we moved down to California, and I went to Central Catholic High School in Modesto.
A very famous Central Catholic in Modesto.
Yes, it is.
My aunt worked at Central Catholic in Portland.
Oh, yeah. My brother attended Central Catholic in Portland.
Well, I hope our listeners are interested in Portland, because I think that's all
we're
going to...
There you go. They're celebrating Catholic Schools Week, too.
That's when you said Madeline, I got chills up and down, and my sisters went there. I was too young. We moved to California when I was 5, so I didn't go to school in Portland, but
my
sisters
goodness.
Still have fond memories of Madeline.
I do too, and of St. Mary's as well.
And St. Mary's,
and all of my years in Catholic school, and Catholic schools have changed so much over these years. I have now been with this diocese since 1986.
Mm-hmm.
87, and I've been a principal for more than 20 years.
Wow.
And I've been here at St. Rose for 13, so I'm so happy and proud of our students and the progress that they make when they graduate from here.
So where did you start teaching?
I started teaching at St. Stanislaus School in Modesto.
Oh, yeah.
But when I was working toward my administrative credentials, I was teaching in Sacred Heart in Turlock.
Oh, yeah.
And then I moved to this diocese because there was such a variety of locations and schools to experience as a principal. And so I've been in the North State as well as working at St. Mel's School in Fair Oaks as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came to St. Rose, which is my parish.
I had the pleasure a few years ago to speak to a breakfast club in Modesto, and I swear half the people there were from St. Stan's.
It was a large school. It's still a large school.
Yeah.
And my brothers and sisters went to Our Lady of Fatima in Modesto.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think there's even a beer named St. Stan's down there.
Well, yes, there is.
Yeah.
And it's right. I think the brewery's right there.
Yeah. Really a great faith community, though. Wow, I was really impressed.
That's great to hear.
So tell us about the curriculum and your faculty at St. Rose.
Well, our faculty, we have a wonderful blend of newer teachers who have been teaching for anywhere from 3 to 4 years to teachers who have been teaching for 30 years. We have great longevity when it comes to the faculty being here. They have, especially the middle school, they have expertise in whatever they're teaching, whether it's math or English language arts, social studies, history, and science. Our primary and intermediate grade teachers all of our teachers have always been in Catholic education. So they understand the uniqueness of being a Catholic teacher and teaching in a Catholic school, because lots of people ask the question about class sizes. And when you have teachers who have always taught and managed large class sizes or small class sizes, they know how to do that. And I think one of the greatest things is that our teachers have great relationships, not with just with the students, but with their parents as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are partners in education with our parents, and our students know that. So we are something unique that's happening for us, and I know it's happening for about 8 other schools in this diocese, is that we are in our writing year for our accreditation. We were accredited in 2015, and that 6 years is about to be up, so we're doing our self-study on our school and looking at the areas that we know that we do well and looking at areas that we can shift and improve, and because we're constantly improving.
So and, what does accreditation involve?
It involves a comprehensive study of the school by the teachers and the administration, actually the whole staff and the parents, because everybody has input to it. We look at everything from the curriculum, from the other offerings that we have for students, student personnel services, finances, budget, how we do different things, how we reach out to the community. And all of these things are either we acknowledge the things we do well and we make suggestions for areas that we would like to have recommended so that we can make improvements.
Very good.
And then we are the visiting team for the accreditation, come to the school for 3 days and acknowledge that what we say we are is what we are, and that's what they're seeing. And then they do a visiting report and make recommendations to us for the coming 6 years, and also acknowledge and praise the areas that we are doing well. It's a real affirmation for the school. And it's important for parents to look at a school and say, are you accredited? Yes, we are.
So if you give us, for instance, like what sort of recommendation might they make?
Well, 2 accreditations ago, we were still looking at reintroducing Spanish language instruction into the school. And we put that down as something that we were wanting to do, and a recommendation assisted us in that. They said, we recommend that you continue to pursue this. And at that time, we established a Spanish language instruction program, and now we have been offering that for almost 10 years.
Oh, well, and it's Spanish as a foreign language, not Spanish immersion?
No, Spanish as a foreign language. Mm-hmm. Although we do have other schools in our diocese that have dual language immersion.
Right.
But no, we don't have that program here at this time. Another recommendation that was made because we were wanting to be a 21st century technology school is making sure that there were one-to-one devices in the hands of our students.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are. We been able to work toward issuing Chromebooks to our 5th through 8th grade for the duration of their time in those classes. And then we have Chromebook carts in the other classrooms. And so we are able to do a lot of the different things that the diocese is asking of us, for example, the assessments online that we do. And our students are able to produce amazing things using Google Docs, Google Classroom, whatever research that they're doing. It's a wonderful thing. It doesn't replace the books, however, I have to say that. I love opening up a brand new book and beginning, and so do our students. So.
Yeah, the one-on-one I had in my hand when I was growing up was a fountain pen.
I did too. Okay.
And it would leak. It would leak into your corduroys.
Oh no! Well, that would be hard.
You'd have that big blue splotch right on your pocket.
Yep.
You know.
Did you have the peacock blue color too?
Yes.
Yes. I love that one.
Oh.
That's how we learned our handwriting, and we still teach handwriting. Cursive.
Do you really?
In the classroom.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Is that coming back or going out of style, or where is cursive?
I don't know where it is with other schools,
yeah.
But it's never left this school. And any school that I've been in, we've taught cursive beginning in at the end of second grade, beginning of third grade, all the way through fourth grade. And then they use it in the classroom fifth through eighth.
Wow.
But by that time, they all get their own particular style
sure.
of writing.
Sure.
So, and then they all go to college and become engineers and write in caps.
That's right. So. That's right. So where do your the students, when they graduate, where do they end up going to high school?
We send our students, for the most part, it varies from year to year, but they attend St. Francis mm-hmm. Jesuit, and they also attend Christian Brothers.
Uh-huh.
Many students who take the placement test for the Catholic high schools may choose to remain closer to the area, and we have great high schools here in the Roseville or in the Rockland
area. You really do,
well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So our students do very well whether they go to the public system or whether they go mm-hmm. to the Catholic schools.
Yeah, and I know everybody in Catholic education, you're rooting for the public schools too because
– Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah. Well, and they offer some great programs. And
yeah.
part of the reason why a family may not decide to go the Catholic high school route is because they have other children here in
right.
St. Rose, and
right.
it's hard to juggle schedules and driving and that type of thing.
I have four teenagers. I know all about it.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah, it's hard to juggle even. I mean, even different start times. It's just you know.
Oh, yes.
It's mind-boggling, you
yes.
know.
It is a juggle, and you're grateful when your children learn to drive and can drive.
Yeah.
However, it adds another component to your life because you worry.
Because you worry. That's mm-hmm. exactly right. I've got one that I'm giving lessons to, I guess, is the best. And we have an awful lot of bikes in our town. And I say, you know, just when you think the coast is clear, here comes somebody on a bike paying no attention at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah, it's, you do worry.
Just want
so
them to be safe.
You sure do. When you mentioned community outreach, talk a little bit about community service and that element at St. Rose.
Well, we as a school do different things for the community, but our children are also asked to be of service to both their family,
mm-hmm.
Their parish, and their school. At the very beginning of the year, we participate in the KCRA Kids Can Food Drive,
uh-huh.
And that goes to our St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank that we have here. We also have a wonderful Knights of Columbus Christmas basket program
mm-hmm.
that is put on area-wide, but it's centered here at St. Rose of Lima Parish. And so our students make a contribution to the turkey fund that
uh-huh.
Helps to fund the turkeys that go into the Christmas basket food part.
Right.
And then right before Christmas time, we also have an adopt-a-family program where our families are very generous with the family ages of the children that we give to each grade, and they make a contribution of toys and clothing and script gift cards mm-hmm. and that type of thing. So those are the primary areas that we find ourselves involved.
Boy, I remember when my kids were littler, especially the adoptive family was such a great teachable moment for mm-hmm. them, because they would you'd give each kid, say, okay, you're going to shop for the 6-year-old in this family, or you're going to shop for the 10-year-old, and it just to see their faces light up, you know, the true joy of giving, and a great lesson that these kids really aren't going to get any Christmas presents otherwise. You know, it
true.
It really is. Those are great programs.
That's a great way to do it, because they're purchasing something for someone else,
right?
Even though they probably love the item too.
Sure.
And you know, even for the food drive, we have several students who get their wagon out and they walk around the neighborhood uh-huh. and they share with the neighborhood, and we are so grateful to those neighbors who make a contribution of canned foods to that food drive too. It's not just coming from our parents, but coming from our overall community.
Right. We're talking with Suzanne Smoley, the principal at St. Rose Elementary School in Roseville. Suzanne, you have an open house coming up.
We do. It's on Sunday, January 26th, mm-hmm. and we are starting with the children's mass at 9 a.m., and then the school is going to be open from 10 o'clock till 12 o'clock on that day, and we'll have teachers here and parents here and the rest of our the last day of our scholastic book fair and hospitality. So there will be donuts, because we Catholics like our donuts.
Indeed we do.
Yes. So we welcome all comers, anyone who is considering Catholic education for their children.
Very good. Holy Mass at 9, and then the open house from 10 to 12. What's the address there?
633 mm-hmm. Vine Avenue mm-hmm. in Roseville. We're in a little neighborhood here in Roseville.
I love Roseville. It's, especially getting into the older parts of town, and it's mm-hmm. yeah, it's a special place.
And people can also find us online at www.strose.org.
strose.org, very good. Well, Suzanne, thanks so much for joining us. It's nice to talk with a fellow Portlandite.
That really is a bonus for us.
I cannot wait to tell my sisters that I talked to somebody today who went to Madeline.
Yes. Yes, I did. And it was just, it was a great experience. So how fun is that?
Yeah, it is. It is. The Lord works in mysterious ways.
Yes, it all comes full circle.
It sure does. Well, Suzanne, God bless. Thanks for doing the Lord's work there in Roseville. And I hope our paths cross again soon.
Very good.
Thank you.
You have a good day.
You too. That's Suzanne Smoley, the principal at St. Rose in Roseville. And again, they're at 633 Vine Street. Their open house will be on Sunday, the 26th of January. From if you can make Holy Mass, the children's mass at 9 o'clock, that would be great. And then the open house itself is from 10 to noon. We'll take a quick break, back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Hello, this is Mark Ross from the Diocese of Sacramento Black Catholic Ministry. This is the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Welcome back. Thanks, Mark, for all you do here with the Black Catholic Ministry in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, we go up the road, up to the foothills, to the great city of Auburn, and we're joined by Kelsey Follett, who is the marketing director for St. Joseph's Catholic School in Auburn. Kelsey, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you have you with us. You got all kinds of great things happening at St. Joseph. You're going to have a crab feed on the 25th.
Yes.
I didn't know they could catch crab in Auburn.
I don't think they do. I don't think you want the crab from Auburn. We get it fresh from the coast, you know?
Yes, indeed.
We just put in a big order yesterday. So it's our 21st annual crab feed. It's a big fundraiser for us, and we're looking forward to having about 350 people.
Oh, wow. You know, it's amazing. I know Cardinal Dolan of New York, when he was in Wisconsin, he was the Archbishop of Milwaukee, and he used to talk about fish fries in Wisconsin. They had all these Catholic fish fries on Friday nights, you know, in California, it's all, especially Northern California, is Dungeness crab. And I think that the crab industry is supported by the Catholic Church.
I believe it. There are quite a few crab feeds this time of year. And, you know, we're spoiled here in California with the wonderful quality of the crab.
Oh, so, yeah. It's I tell people, all these friends of mine from the East Coast, and they talk about the blue crab and these different kinds of crabs, and I said, no, unless you've had Dungeness crab, you haven't had crab.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I remember,
it's not too hard of a ticket for us to sell because everybody really enjoys it.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. I remember I one time went to, I think it was a Cristo Rey High School crab feed with my daughter, who was about a fifth grader at the time, and we show up, and there were people, they were on the crab feed tour, I swear.
Oh, yeah.
They were professionals. They had a little kit that had the little burner, you know, and they would melt their own butter. And
they've got their crackers and they've got their terry cloth
right.
bibs that they reuse.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So there were these two women there. My daughter still laughs at this story. There were these two women there sitting right across the table from us, and they put this little burner, you know, little flame, and then put the butter in, and they melted the butter right in front of my daughter. And so when the crab came, my daughter took her crab and dipped it in their butter.
Uh-oh.
Not knowing better if looks could kill.
Yes. Don't touch the butter.
Yeah, so it was. But they were pros. And but they are Catholic tradition, but they're really a lot of fun, and they really are very good because they raise a lot of money.
Yeah, and it brings the community together so well. We've got school families, we've got parishioners. We do have a lot of people just from the community, and it's just a lot of fun. It's a great night, a lot of food. We have the 7th and 8th graders serve, so it's great to see the students out there as well getting involved. And we really enjoy it. We really enjoy it.
Yeah, and you know, you're right. I mean, community members that aren't even part of the parish will come.
Yes.
And that's just a great thing. Yeah.
We have a really great community up here in Auburn. It's a small town feel, and there's a lot of support for the schools and a lot of support for the students up here. So, regardless of the school, but yes, we have a lot of people up from outside the community come and support, so that's always wonderful to see.
Yeah, Auburn is one of those great towns that, you know, it's far enough away that nobody considers it a suburb or anything like that, and it's got such great history there, you know, all the Gold Rush history and everything, you know, it's just, you run into people from Auburn, and it's a really close-knit community.
It is. We, at St. Joseph, we say we're a community within a community,
right?
Because we have the great community of Auburn and the great town of Auburn and all the local businesses. And yes, you're right, the history up here and all that. And then within that, we have our own Catholic community. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful place to be a family, to raise your kids, and be part of the church up here as well. So.
Yeah, and a great location, too. I mean, you're just a little bit up the hill, and you're just off of downtown, and it's like an oasis in that area there. It's just a nice view of everything. It's great. So can people still come to the crab feed? Is it sold out yet?
It's not sold out yet. We do have tickets still available on our website, online. We've got it on Facebook and everything. So, of course, it's all-you-can-eat crab. We also have clam chowder and shrimp and salad and pasta and all the good stuff that you get at Crab Feeds. So we are looking forward to a good night. It's actually at the Gold Country Fairgrounds.
Oh, okay.
Up here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've ever been to the Gold Country Fairgrounds, it's a really neat location.
They're
and
even
we
further up
there
the hill.
Over.
Yeah.
It's actually, it's a great place to have something like this because they it's right off the freeway,
right.
Virtually right off the freeway. So we will have the silent auction and the raffle and the dessert dash, and it's a fun night. So,
very good. What's the website where people could sign up?
You can go to our school website, which is stjosephauburn.org, and Saint is written out.
Okay.
So that's that. We have a big landing page for the crab feed on the homepage of our website.
Very good, very good. And then the next day, you're going to have an open house.
Yes, it's all just bang, bang, bang. Yeah.
They're working you to death.
Well, you know, better have the crab feed when the crab's available. So
yeah,
and that just coincides with Catholic Schools Week perfectly.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes, the next day we actually have a pancake breakfast, an open house. The Knights of Columbus Council is actually hosting a pancake breakfast for everyone after Mass in the morning. And they're great. They're always so supportive of us. And then the open house. So we'll have all the classrooms open and the teachers available, and anyone interested in looking at St. Joseph Catholic School is more than welcome to attend both the pancake breakfast and the open house.
Very good. And what time will the open house start?
It's at 11:30, which
okay.
is immediately after our 10:30 Mass.
Very good.
So as soon as your crab coma wears off, you can have the pancakes. It will be a full weekend for us.
Wow. So the is it a TK through 8?
We are preschool through 8th
grade.
Oh,
you have a preschool.
We do. We have a preschool program. Yes. So, and that will be open as well. So it's preschool through eighth grade.
And preschool goes down to what, two?
Preschool is 2 and 9 months.
2 and 9 months, okay.
Yeah. So it's a great program. They kind of have two different age groups in there that they split off and do a little bit more of an advanced work with some. And my daughter is 3 and a half, and so she's with the younger ones right now. And it's a wonderful preschool. My son, who's now in kindergarten, also went there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And is it right at the parish?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. So our parish, we have basically two supporting parishes, both St. Teresa of Avila, which is on our property, and then St. Joseph Catholic Church, which is downtown Auburn.
Right.
So, yeah. So we're lucky that we have both parishes supporting us.
Very good. Well, it's your late January is spoken for.
Our late January is spoken for, yes. And the open house is just the kickoff. But Catholic School Week's so much fun. The students always really enjoy it, and we're looking forward to it. So
yeah, that's actually
really nice.
The start of Catholic Schools. What do you do during the rest of the week of Catholic Schools Week?
Well, nationally, the themes are set each day, and so we have a different theme, and schools can take liberty with how they celebrate each theme, but there's a celebrating our community, celebrating our nation. So what we do is we have, like, for example, on Celebrating Our Nation Day, we wear red, white, and blue. We have speakers come in, veterans come in and talk about their experiences and things like that. And the teachers will have activities based on that theme for the day. We have Celebrating Your Community, and on that day we do a school-wide service project for the community. So this year, the whole school will be making Valentines for some of the retirement homes up here.
Oh,
so
very
we
nice.
Traditionally do that as a school. We usually team up with our buddies and make Valentine's. So it's really a celebratory week for everyone, and the students like it because it's just it's out of the norm. They get to do special activities. They get to wear special things. They get to hear special people. There's a career day where people come in and talk about their career. So it's a great week.
Wow.
And it's nice that the themes are nationwide. So there's all these other Catholic schools also celebrating these things in various ways on the same day. So it's really wonderful.
Very good. Well,
Kelsey,
I can tell everybody's in good hands up there. And we greatly appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. And I'm sure you're going to have a mob for the crab feed and a great turnout for open house on Sunday the 26th.
Really appreciate it. It's been wonderful talking to you.
You too. God bless.
All right, God bless
your work. Take care. That's Kelsey Follett from she's the marketing director for St. Joseph's Catholic School in Auburn. The crab feed is on the 25th. And the evening of the 25th, that's Saturday, and then the open house is on Sunday, the 26th. Boy, Gabe, we just got to go up to that crab feed.
Are those the same crabs that they do on the TV shows, where they go up and they throw the big nets and all that?
It could be. Usually, the TV show is it's Alaska.
Yeah,
and that's frequently king crab, I believe. A big difference between king crab and Dungeness crab. Dungeness much more flavorful. Dungeness is more, you know, it looks like a tarantula, you know, like a big orange tarantula. The king crabs have those long. They're the ones that the steakhouses and things like that
toss
a couple of those on there. They're not as meaty as the Dungeness are. Very meaty, and they have a very distinct flavor. A lot of crab is pretty bland. That's why people are always dipping it in butter and mayonnaise. And
I dip lots of stuff in butter. It was bland or not. Yeah.
And, But the Dungeness has a very distinct flavor.
Okay.
Almost a sweetness.
Is it one of those things where it's like just the legs that you eat, or is there other stuff? I've never been a big crab eater.
Pretty much the claws. But is that it? With the Dungeness, I know with king crab, it's pretty thin. They're long legs, but they're pretty thin.
Okay.
Dungeness, some of the claws are quite meaty.
Okay.
You go into the supermarkets this time of year, and most of them will have Dungeness. They'll have specials on Dungeness crab, and
they'll have the big orange helmet, right?
They look like they're wearing an orange helmet. That's very well said. About twice the size of your hand.
When do we have a lobster tail feed?
Oh yeah.
Talk about butter.
How much would they have to charge for the lobster tail feed? Because the Dungeness crab feeds, I've been to them, and they're a lot of fun, and it's a lot of food. Usually there's pasta and salad. And
yeah.
She said there's shrimp and everything else.
They just netted French the whole ocean. They just netted it and brought it to you.
I think, probably if it weren't for the Catholic Church, Dungeness crab would be overrunning the oceans right now.
Oh, they're keeping us safe from the Dungeness crab overrunning the oceans. And if you can swim and surf in the ocean, thank the Catholic Church, because you're not being eaten by crabs.
It's amazing. It's like I'm always amused, on Ash Wednesday, which is a Wednesday, and the grocery ads always come out on Wednesdays.
Right.
And the on Ash Wednesday, they'll have Lenten specials. Make Lent special, and it's they don't quite understand Lent, but they'll have Dungeness crab, they'll have lobster tail, they'll have salmon,
right.
They'll have for sale,
right.
For your Lenten meal. Oh boy. Make me sacrifice.
For the next 40 days, give up on paying full price for your seafood. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I love how they try to cash in on that stuff. I remember one time when I was 20, I first turned 21, my parents took me out to like a nice dinner, so I went to a steakhouse and I got the surf and turf with the giant, the T-bone or whatever it is, and then the lobster tail. And I'd never had lobster before, and I remember thinking, the only thing I can remember from that was thinking, oh no, I really like this.
Oh, I know.
It's like $45.
Well, my wife from Montana, the first time we went out to dinner in California. I said, "You've had lobster, right?" And she said, "No, we don't have lobsters in Montana."
No, they have. She had all kinds of beef. Lobster,
and it was the same thing. It was like the food of the gods. Where have I been all my life?
I just thought about it. I was like, well, I'm going to go broke now because I like lobster. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Well, again, their crab feed will be the 25th, and their open house on the 26th. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
From the fear of being